Hello, I'm Bill Moore, and you're listening to a selected segment of a longer interview with Garvin Heath, a senior scientist at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Golden, Colorado. The full-length version of this interview, recorded on May 8, 2020, is nearly an hour long and will be available to our Patreon supporters. And now, my abbreviated discussion with Garvin.
Boy, that world has changed. I posted an article this morning that out of the Netherlands, that 1 in 8 Dutch homes now have solar panels on their roof. I was doing a little virtual traveling some months ago to my hometown in Germany, and I spotted a large solar farm located just a few hundred yards from where I was born. We've got, I think it's in the Persian Gulf, the largest or one of the largest solar farms in the world just went online in the Persian Gulf. So obviously something has happened from the days of, we could only afford to put these things on solar, satellites to now we've got them appearing on, on people's homes and in giant installations around the world. So I want to ask you, as a senior scientist and as an analyst, why? What's happened? What's made this transition possible?
Right. Lots of things have happened in all of that time. I myself have not worked at NREL as long ago as you visited and saw some of the early generation of the technology. Although I recall being on a tour some European country, now I think it was the Netherlands, where these translucent but energy-generating windows were actually in a real building. And I believe it was one of the first. I can't say for sure it was the first or not, and that was 2 years ago. So it takes a long time to get technology to be developed to come to market, and the even what I saw in Austria, I would say, was at a university and was probably not widely commercially available or adopted, and so there might be some more years from now before something like that gets to market, and that just speaks to what kind of effort and timeline it takes for technologies to evolve and then diffuse into the marketplace. A lot has happened to solar over those decades, and we're talking here about photovoltaics, so the direct conversion of sunlight to electricity, as opposed to concentrating solar power, or also known as solar thermal,
right,
which takes the sun's energy and converts it to heat, and that heat is actually used to turn a standard turbine to create electricity.
Yep.
So here we're talking about PV, and the big story on PV, and it's the reason why you see these massive plants being built around the world, is that their costs are competitive. And their costs are competitive, even in most regions of the world without subsidy. And by competitive, I mean that if you put an open solicitation out and say, give me energy, I don't care how you make it, solar in many world regions without subsidy can beat new gas and certainly new coal plants.
Right, right.
So that's just a massive, massive change over the course of even just the last decade, but certainly over the course of 3 decades before. Where do these improvements come from that affect the cost like that? Well, it's certainly improvements in the technology. It's improvements in the technology in ways that improve efficiency, so you can get more electricity out from the same area and therefore reduce the incremental cost per module or per unit of mass of a material or other things. But you also have improvements that have come from economies of scale and learning by doing in the industry. So as we continually deploy more, we drive down costs. And as we increase the scale, we drive down costs further. And it's through a combination of both industry effort, industry-led effort, and government-led effort that has allowed us to do that. Government-led effort in the form of policies that were preferencing solar in different parts of the world. There's a, certainly a wide recognition that Germany, in putting a very high cost on what they were willing to pay for solar, helped to really kickstart the industry in terms of getting that learning by doing in economies of scale. But there are also there are other policies that that have helped, including research and development, which has been the one of the main focuses within the U.S. To help the solar industry develop and grow.
To listen to this EV World Future in Motion podcast interview in its entirety, consider becoming a Patreon supporter and help us continue to share this important information with others. Click on the Become Patron button to get started.